You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Part two of my chat with Eric Crocker. We talked wide receivers, we talked DBs. Him being a former professional cornerback has a unique perspective. He does a really great job scouting players, and we talked about the 49ers' current group of wide receivers earlier this week. Now, today, some potential draft picks for the 49ers. A couple of gems, maybe, outside of round one, and how Croc feels about the two main names that are at the top of everyone's lists when it comes to the NFL draft. Could one of those players be nabbed by the 49ers, number 12 overall? And Croc, I know Shanahan likes his versatile playmakers, a lot of catch-and-run guys. So I struggle with what type of wide receiver. Let's say the 49ers do with that Saleh comp pick, late third round, draft a wide receiver. What style of wide receiver would you be looking for? And do you have any names on the college level that you like there?
All right. So there's a couple guys who I have in mind, and I think they'll work fine. I think they'll be there really day three, possibly. All right. One guy, 49ers fans aren't going to like to hear this, but receiver at SMU. His last name is Roberson, I believe. He's number 8. Dude's a blazer. The game he got hurt in, he tore his ACL. I know you guys aren't going to want to hear that. But he tore his ACL. But in that game, he had like 250 receiving yards. And then just flukishly like tore his ACL. But very explosive player. The injury might actually help a team like the 49ers be able to get him in a later round. Explosive player. So one thing, was Kyle Shanahan, he opted out because of COVID. Signed Tavon Austin. But then he hurt his hamstring. Signed J.J. Nelson. So clearly the 49ers are looking for a guy to stretch the field and be a speed guy, even if that's what his sole purpose of being on the team is. I think somebody like Roberson, he might be able to kind of fit that mold. Even though he's coming off an ACL, we'll see how that whole thing goes. But I believe the 49ers are strongly trying to find who's going to be that explosive player. And to this point, they tried to do it with Goodwin. That didn't really work out, especially 2019. He was pretty much non-existent. And then, again, I listed off a bunch of guys that they signed, and then obviously Richie James, but they haven't really been able to get him involved as much. So I could see the 49ers really trying to go after a speed guy.
Yeah, someone like a Marvin Jones type. Open things up on the outside. I would love to see that type of player with the 49ers. How do you like the wide receivers at the top? We had talked about last year how both of us loved Devontae Smith, and we thought he was at least as good or, and probably better than Jerry Jeudy. And there was times when I was watching Jeudy where I would think it was Jeudy making the play, but it was actually Devontae Smith, and they're kind of shaped similarly. And then there was times when I was like, is it Jeudy? Is it Smith? I can't see the number. I can't tell because they were both so darn good. I love Devontae Smith. I know he's skinny, and maybe he'll fall a little bit because of that, and I don't think the 49ers should necessarily draft a wide receiver in round one, but who knows? Crazier things have happened. How do you like the wide receivers at the top of this draft?
So, yeah, he's my favorite. Now, this is one thing. You talked about him being a little skinny, and I think that's the one knock that everybody points to, but my question to them is, what does that have to do with anything? You know, like, who cares if he's skinny? Like, does that limit him in any way, right? Now, if it does, then you try to figure out, all right, what are his limitations? But just to say like, oh, well, he's 175 pounds, so I don't like him, I think that's ridiculous. My thing is I look at play style more than anything. And that was kind of maybe, you know, one of my issues with Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Judy's much bigger than him, much bigger in the sense he's like, you know, 20 pounds heavier, but he played much smaller. And that was a big issue. Like, you know, I saw the drops. I thought he didn't play well with contact. You know, whether he lost focus or whatever the issue was, that was one thing that really started to kind of like, I'm worried about this with Jerry Jeudy. And then you look at his rookie year, he had a bunch of drops. And people think is, well, oh, he just had these drops. No, this is going back. He had 9 drops his last year at Bama. That was a big issue. But you look at Devontae Smith, he plays big. He doesn't have those issues. You throw contested balls up, he jumps over guys. He's taking big hits. He pops right up. Like, he catches the ball. He's just as explosive of an athlete as Jerry Jeudy, right? For whatever reason, and I don't know why, people are questioning his speed. I don't get it. He was a 10.6 guy in the 100-meter dash in high school. He's shown nothing but real legit speed. Yeah, maybe he's not Henry Ruggs running a 4.2, but I think he's definitely a low 4.4 guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he ran 4.42 at the combine or pro day, whatever they're doing now. Like, this is a guy who can really run, and he out of all the guys coming out right now, I see the least. I couldn't even tell you what his flaw is, other than he runs, other than he weighs 175 pounds. I think that's the highest compliment, because typically, you know, it might be somebody's movement skills, or oh, they're not twitchy enough, or okay, maybe they're right after catch, or you know, whatever it is. I don't know what this guy's flaw is, and that's the highest compliment I could probably pay to somebody. He's 175 pounds. That's all anybody can say.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great point. It's like, yeah, what is it? Okay, he's skinny, but how does that show up? And it really doesn't at the college level. Who knows? Maybe guys will get their hands on him in the NFL and it won't work. But we've seen a lot how people are moved around in the NFL. And that was one of the questions I had with Justin Jefferson last year, was that he was in the slot all the time. And the way he had this release, it was like a point guard and he could kind of give himself a two-way go, and he had this little wiggle. And then you see him play and you're like, oh, that didn't matter. And he looks a lot more like Davante Adams than anything else. And so Davante Adams shows a lot of that with his releases too. Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay. It just didn't matter. And so that's really important when you're scouting prospects. It's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. You see something, but sometimes like, okay, does that even matter?
It doesn't matter, but that's the one thing everybody points to. But when I'm watching the film, it's like, okay, show me where that was an issue. Did he struggle to get off press? No. Like, did he struggle running by people? No. Did he, you know, when he got hit, did he pop up? Yes. When it was contested, when he was asked to make contested catches over guys like Stingley, he jumped up and made it with one hand. Like, the dude is really, he's legit. And I'm not, I don't want to make it seem like he's like the greatest thing ever, but he's a terrific prospect. He's one of the more, out of all the guys coming out, I'd say in the last few years, he's probably the cleanest prospect I've seen, in a sense of, like, what are his flaws? This is even going back, and you know how much I love DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have DK Metcalf over him just because he's like jumbo sized and could run how he ran. But even with DK, there were questions. You know, hey, you know, his route running, or you know, is he gonna be able to do this? And he can't run double moves, those type of things. I wouldn't know what the weakness is with Devontae Smith. And you can move him around, like you said. You can motion him from one side to the other. You watched him just destroy Ohio State. Like, he destroyed Ohio State, and it was easy. He had over 200 yards. And I'm not a guy that points to stats, but in the sense of, like, oh, this person's good because he has a lot of stats. But just in the sense of how they were using him. They moved him here. They moved him there. They did this. They did that. And it looked easy. It was like a walk in the park for him. And I felt like there was like no resistance. Everything that they wanted to do with him, it worked. And that's, yeah, I can't say enough good things about this guy. I think it's crazy. People talk about questioning speed. It's like, why do you question his speed?
That's insane. I've not really heard people say that. I haven't really been paying that much attention, but the dude flies. He's so smooth. Like, I don't know why you would even say that about him. That's it. It's not a question.
Yeah,
so,
is another guy who I have more questions about.
Yeah, it's because Devontae Smith's your number one. So Jamar Chase, is he your number two? Is he further down? Is he maybe even a little overrated in Crocker's book?
I haven't really like tapped into everybody yet to really start ranking them. Aside from Smith, I know he's number one, and he's been my number one guy. I have the tweets. I said he was the best receiver last year at Alabama, and I thought he was the best receiver going into this year. So like, I've been thinking that highly of him. He just solidified it with this season. But everybody loves Jamar Chase. And listen, I'm not saying that Chase is a bad football player or anything like that, but I have these big question marks, right? And everybody points to his stats, right? Like, just like they point to Devontae Smith's 175-pound frame, they point to Jamar Chase's stats as to why he's this and he's that. But when you watch a guy on a consistent basis, like you watch, all right, right? Ruggs is a speed guy. And one thing I noticed with Ruggs, and why he kind of fell down my board a little bit, was he's a speed guy that doesn't consistently win with his speed. And what I mean by that is, like, that's your main trait. Like, that's why you got drafted number 12 overall to the Raiders. But on a play-to-play basis, he doesn't utilize that speed all the time. Now, he might catch a slant and take it to the house. He might take a dig. But that might be the only play he has all game, because for the rest of the game, he's inconsistent with being able to use his speed to get open. Now, when you look at Jamar Chase, he really struggles to get off press. And not only does he struggle to get off press, from what I'm seeing so far, he lacks any type of suddenness. He lacks any type of creativity at the line of scrimmage. He lacks a lot of twitch. I haven't really seen that. And he lacks the ability to really just run by a guy. No, guys are never in a panic. Everything that he has to do is a contested catch. Everything, for the most part. Now, that is a strength of his, right? We talk about what guys do well. He's at the catch point. He is terrific. I think he tracks the ball in extremely well. I think he plays really strong at the top of the routes where he's able to kind of push off or create separation a little bit, just enough to for him to adjust and catch the ball. He does that very well. My thing is, how consistent is that way of winning going to be at the next level? Yeah, you were awesome in college. You had Joe Burrow throwing the ball to you. Like, he wasn't the only one with, like, 20 touch. I mean, he had 20, but Jefferson had, like, 18. You know, like, Marshall had, like, 13. So, I mean, all these guys were kind of going crazy with Joe Burrow at quarterback and a wide-open, explosive offense. What are you going to do with your skill set in the NFL? Even with Jefferson, people might say, well, Jefferson wasn't the number one receiver, and look what he did in the NFL. It's like, look, they were used two totally different ways, and they had two totally different skill sets. So even though Jefferson's numbers might not be as good, the way that he's used, you could see how that translates to the NFL with his skill set. With Chase, it's a little tougher because he's somebody in theory that plays kind of like he's 6'3", but he's only 6 foot, 200 pounds. And he lacks that ability to really create separation. I think they're an offense that gets him. They're going to have to be a little bit more creative. You know, I don't think he's just a guy where it's just like, hey, I'm just going to line you up here or motion you here. Like, I think you're going to have to do some things that even LSU did with him. They ran pick routes. They did it against C.J. Henderson. C.J. Henderson was guarding him in the slot. They had the outside guy run into C.J. Henderson and Chase run a wheel route off of him for a 50-yard touchdown, right? Like, they had to find creative ways to free him up and get him open, you know. And then when they did throw passes to him downfield, a lot of times it was contested, and you had to hope he won at the catch point. I watched the Auburn game. He did win at the catch point, right? And then they came back, they did the same thing, and then the ball got intercepted because everything with him, for the most part, is going to have to be contested. He's going to have to really work on that part of his game. We'll see if he does, but he's just not this. I get a lot of people in my comments saying, oh, this is the best the prospect I've seen in years, or this is like the best since this. And I'm like, dude, like, you guys look at his stats, and yeah, he's made some plays against some good competition, but if you watch those games, for every play that he has that's really good, there are 10 plays that look really bad. And that's not something that you see with guys like Devontae Smith. So that's kind of my spiel on Chase. I like him. I like the way he wins. I just won't have him nearly as high on my board as other people.
I know it's early in the process, and we'll have a lot more thoughts, and I'll have you back on closer to the draft. We'll talk about some more of these prospects. But I want to talk about the teammates of some of those top guys as well, coming up with Eric Crocker. Not only Super Bowl odds at Bet Online, you can find Matthew Stafford odds. What team will he be going to? Deshaun Watson, NFL draft futures, NBA action, NHL season is now underway, and a million props for Super Bowl 55. There is only one place that has you covered, and you can even get a little welcome bonus. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Not only NFL, there's table games. You like to play poker, blackjack, NCAA football futures for 2022 national champions. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code either, Locked On, to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So we covered LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. We covered the Heisman winner, Alabama's Devontae Smith. And you and I both really like Devontae Smith. But there's a good chance neither of them would be available at pick 12 anyway. And I don't know that wide receiver is the position the 49ers should be looking at in round one. What about the teammates of those guys? Any thoughts on Jaylen Waddle or Terrence Marshall, who could also be first round wide receivers in this draft?
I haven't watched enough of Marshall yet, so I don't want to speak on him just yet. But Waddle, I really like him. I think he's more of what people think of in theory when they think of Ruggs. He's more of a twitchier guy. Ruggs is a little bit more of a long strider. I think when Waddle gets up on you, you can kind of see that twitch. You can see that panic in the defender more. I was watching them against guys like Eric Stokes. Stokes is a guy, you know, a corner from Georgia. Might go first round, maybe early second round. But he's a guy that was, you know, he's a speedster. You can tell he's explosive. His click and close, really good. But even with him, somebody that probably runs in the 4.3s or low 4.4s, Waddle had him in the panic, running him, a 10-yard stop in the corner, keeps going about 4 or 5 more yards up the field. Those are things that Waddle does. He puts panic. He puts fear in defensive backs. He plays very big. I mean, he's just an explosive guy. He's not big. He's about 5'10", 180. But he springs up, jumps up, tracks the ball in very well, aggressive at the catch point. When you throw screens to him, you can just see like a twitchy, jittery bug type guy. He's more like, and I don't want to say he's going to be Tariq Hill, and that's probably the comp. Oh, he's got this speed. He got this. But in the sense of his ability, it is Tariq Hill-ish. Ruggs didn't have that. Ruggs is more of a long strider. He doesn't have as much control over his speed. You know, yeah, he has a good top-end speed, but he doesn't play that fast. I think Waddle plays that fast. He plays a little bit more like a Tyreek Hill. Not saying he's going to be that, but I'm saying, like, in the sense of his control over his speed and the, like, just the suddenness, it is really good. His next level stuff. So I really like him a lot.
Another guy that gets those kind of comps, and because of his smaller wide receivers, explosive, you can move him around and do a lot of things, Kadarius Toney out of Florida. Have you had a chance to watch him? I don't think he'll make it to the 49ers second round pick, but I can see Kyle Shanahan some pretty good ideas of how he could utilize someone like that if he was to make it to the 49ers second round pick.
So I think he is a guy that can make it to the second round pick. This is what I'll say about Toney. He's not as explosive of an athlete as the other guy. Now, he's a little bit more like Deebo Samuel, right? Now, Deebo Samuel, when he was at South Carolina, he was a pretty – he could give you the explosive plays, but a lot of it was, tough, physical, and that's kind of with Toney. I think Toney is a little bit more of a separator, but he is more of a slot. I'd be surprised. I think that's going to be one of those guys. You know, we saw Jalen Reagor run his 40, and people were like, 4.47. Like, no, we thought he was going to run faster than that. I could see Toney being one of those guys where it's like 4.50, you know, but to me, he doesn't have that, big-time top-end speed, but I think he gets from point A to point B pretty quick. He knows how to get open for the most part. He's really good with his choice routes and stuff. I think he's really tough after the catch. You know, there was a guy who said he was a combination of Brad, my guy Brad Kelly. He said Toney is a combination of Deebo Samuel and what was the other guy he named? Tavon Austin, right? I'm like, Deebo Samuel, Tavon Austin? Like, what is that? And then he showed these plays. I'm like, damn, that is Deebo and Tavon Austin. Like,
that's funny.
So he has that type of ability. I don't know if he's as explosive as Tavon Austin, but obviously he's definitely explosive enough, and he has some really physical plays. So now there's a lot to like about him, but I do think he's a guy that will be, he'll be there mid-second round, if you ask me. I think he will.
Tutu Atwell is another guy that, I mean, he's tiny. I think he's listed at 5'9", 165. He probably isn't even 5'9", because nobody's ever as tall as they're listed, which is always frustrating in the draft. We'll see these guys that are listed at 6'1", that come in 5'11 and a half, and it's like, oh, gosh, dang it. And Tutu Atwell is another fun one. We're talking day three here, but super explosive, small guy. Maybe could be a return man, slot type of guy, but he could be a fun receiver too. I don't know. There's so many wide receivers, and it seems like every year there's more and more really good wide receivers, and this draft, I think, will be a little bit wilder than some at that position. So it'll be fun to go through all these guys and get them a little bit deeper, and we can really get our boards solidified before the draft and do another pod about those wide receivers.
Yeah. Jonathan Adams out of Arkansas State. That's another guy for people to kind of keep there.
Is that just Arkansas love, or is he legit? Okay. 6'3", 210. I have not watched Jonathan Adams. He doesn't even have a picture on his or a scouting report over here at draftnetwork.com I'm looking at right now, and he's listed in the rankings with a nice little ranking, but no other info about him. So I guess it's a little bit harder to find Arkansas State film, but I'm gonna go check him out.
Yeah, nah, he's legit. He's had some big games, big time catches, terrific contested catch guy. I think he's what you would have liked Kendrick Bourne to be, but Kendrick Bourne is like the Kendrick Bourne is like the undrafted he's like the undrafted version of
okay
of
sort of like
the where Adams I expect him to go like third or fourth round.
Okay, he's like the poor man's version of Adams, not quite as, yeah, as physically impressive speed and in size. He's got some
when thickness. Kendrick Bourne, he was listed at 6'3", and he's like, nah, dude, 6'1".
Nah, 6'1", you know, and skinny.
When he was,
yeah,
coming out, he was listed at 6'3".
Yeah, that Crabtree was a big one. Crabtree was listed at Texas Tech at like 6'4". And that you look so big and fast on the college level. That's the thing, is like it's believable. Then you see him in the NFL and he's like, ah, he's kind of just average size, average speed. That was one of the disappointments back in the day when Crabtree showed up, and he was really good, but it was like, oh man, he's not this. I thought he was a little bit more freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Crabtree though.
Oh yeah. I like Crabtree.
It was something about his game. It was kind of smooth and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of a diva.
Yeah, a bit of a diva. Like, there's interesting, like, a lot of people don't really have the greatest things to say about Crabtree that were around him, which is interesting. Even though he didn't, like, cause any problems, it's very strange. He didn't like to talk to people either, so maybe that was it. He was just a loner.
Yeah, he was a guy that kind of kept himself, it seemed like, right? Like, he was never in any kind of trouble. And then he went to the Raiders and was terrific, especially in the red zone. And then Baltimore for like a year, and then boom, he was just out the league.
I think he was trying to like design clothes. I never really heard about his clothing line. It was kind of like Brandon Lloyd. Remember, he was like had a try to have a music career. It's like these NFL like players never. Wait, what's that?
I actually heard the song, and it's in my head, and it's like it's B to the double L, O to the Y D in the club VIP where you find me. Don't ask me why I know the lyrics. Don't ask me that and why I still remember them. But that's really. That was from one of his songs.
Okay, so it had a hook then. So he got you.
Yeah, he got me. I mean, that was like, what, 2004, 2005 when I heard that.
So yeah, that was a long
still
time
in my ago. Head. That's 15 years later. So.
Oh, man, he made some spectacular catches. He was fun to watch for a time.
Yeah, man, he was Odell before Odell, at least with the spectacular catches. It sucks that, the 49ers were just so bad that I don't think he really never got the appreciation that he should have gotten for what he was doing during that time, especially like that young in his career. Like, if he would have went somewhere that had a consistently good situation, good quarterback, he probably could have been good. But instead, he had like Timber Tate throwing him the ball. So that kind of was his downfall. And then it was like 5, 6, 7 years of that, 300 yards, 400 yards or whatever. Then all of a sudden, like 1,000-yard season with Denver Broncos. Like, what? Where'd this come from?
Yeah, he made some of the craziest catches I've ever seen. He might be the best spectacular catch guy. Like, he would, like, preseason games and some catches that were out of bounds and didn't even count, so you never really see replays of them. But there was a ton of catches that we never even see that were amazing. I think there was one, it was in the end zone. I think it was either out of bounds or it was a preseason game or something. And nobody ever, I don't think I've even seen it since, like, 2004. But it was probably the best catch I've ever seen on a football field. But nobody ever shows a replay of it because, like, it didn't count. It wasn't in a regular season game or something like that.
Yeah, nah, man. That was one of my favorite players growing up. I was just, I liked it. And I liked the small name guys, the guys that weren't really like these big guys. He was out of Illinois. I want to say like a fourth round draft pick.
Yeah, fourth round.
It was just intriguing. I liked it.
All right. I got to go seek out that album then.
Yep. Don't ask me why I remember the lyrics. I don't know.
You want to sing us out? You want to sing us out of here?
I think I'm done.
That's great. All right. Good stuff. Eric Crocker, you find him at Eric_Crocker on Twitter. Crocker Report. He is all over the place. He's training athletes. He's podding about the 49ers. You probably already follow Eric Crocker, and if you don't, you should. Eric, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Anytime, man.
Let's see what's cooking in the off-season mailbag next. Do you want to keep your vehicle running smooth? Do you want to keep your family safe in that vehicle? Do you want to save some money? Then you got to go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The website is no nonsense. I love it. Super easy to find exactly what you need for exactly your vehicle. And yes, your vehicle is covered. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, small, big parts, whatever it is you need a new tailgate, you need wiper blades, you can find it at rockauto.com. It's a unique and remarkably easy to navigate website. Their catalog is huge. Quickly find all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And those prices, by the way, always reliably low. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's kick this off with Travis, who was taking my lead when I had joked, kind of joked, I think it might happen, the 32-team trade that I'll come up with to fix every team in the NFL's quarterback position. Probably break some of those quarterback positions if we're talking all 32 teams, because some teams will get worse. Here's Travis's scenario. Jacksonville, number one overall draft pick. They take Trevor Lawrence. No surprise there. I like where this is starting. Pick number two in the NFL draft is the New York Jets, but they end up with Deshaun Watson. That Jets pick gets traded to the Texans, who take Zach Wilson, number two. Not unrealistic so far. Atlanta, they have Matt Ryan currently, but they still draft a quarterback number four overall. That is Justin Fields out of Ohio State. Detroit, picking at seven after moving Matthew Stafford somewhere, draft Trey Lance. So there you go. Four quarterbacks off the board after seven picks of the NFL draft, Trey Lance to Detroit. Carolina then doesn't have a quarterback to draft, so they stick with Bridgewater. I think it's the only quarterback or only team on this list that didn't change quarterbacks in this scenario. Denver, Drew Lock, they draft Trask. And I don't know if that's a second round pick or a first round pick. I would assume it's a second round pick, because very high for Trask to go that early in the top 10 of the NFL drafts, in my opinion. San Francisco 49ers picking 12. They do not select a quarterback in the first round, but they do end up with one Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions. No information on what it took to land Matthew Stafford. New England then ends up with Jimmy Garoppolo via trade. Washington ends up with Mitchell Trubisky. They're still bad. The Chicago Bears draft Mac Jones. The Indianapolis Colts trade for Sam Darnold from the New York Jets. The Pittsburgh Steelers have Ben Roethlisberger and Dwayne Haskins. That's already set. They could add some other players, I think, to that mix. New Orleans with Winston and Hill. They don't make any changes. And the Houston Texans, as I mentioned, with Zach Wilson after trading Watson and ending up with the second pick in the draft. Interesting scenario there. It's not completely unlikely. I like where your head's at with a lot of these. So well done there, Travis. Niners getting Stafford. They would be better. I mean, the more I think about it, whew, that would be the potential for that sort of MVP caliber season over the course of the next 2 years, like Kyle Shanahan coaxed out of Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan was already a good quarterback, already a playoff quarterback, and was pretty good after Kyle Shanahan left, but he was never as good as he was with Kyle Shanahan. Could Kyle Shanahan really set the league on fire with someone with the arm talent of Matthew Stafford? It's possible. And if the 49ers have the opportunity, the more I think about it, they have to take a realistic look at that trade. They can't overpay for a guy who's 33 years old, been banged up, been hit a lot, is not really the efficient quarterback that I think Kyle Shanahan really likes. So he's different in that regard than Matt Ryan. And maybe you could argue Matt Ryan is a better fit for a Kyle Shanahan style offense than Matthew Stafford. But with the arm talent that he's still got, and he doesn't maybe have that crazy cannon of an arm he once had, but he still has a rifle back there. Matthew Stafford for a couple of years, if you don't overpay, would be a pretty fantastic fit for the 49ers, I think, and a lot of fun, and look a lot different than it has the last couple of years with the 49ers offense, really since Kyle Shanahan has arrived, and would, I think, be an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. To Fabian on Twitter says, what are the chances the 49ers let Williams walk in free agency and trade up to draft Sewell? That being Penei Sewell out of Oregon, the consensus top offensive tackle prospect in this draft. It's actually a really good draft for offensive linemen and offensive tackles specifically this year. It's a deep class as well as a pretty good class of some first round type players. I think those chances are very low. Even if Williams did walk in free agency, I don't think it would be the 49ers letting him do that. I think it would be him choosing another team and maybe more money potentially somewhere else. And trading up for Sewell is just a non-starter for me. Trade up for a quarterback, that's it. Trade down otherwise, if anything. Here's one from John. He says, this seems ludicrous. He was responding to my three-way trade I proposed a couple weeks ago. He says, hell, I'd bet money with a completely healthy 49ers team, Beathard could get the team to the playoffs. Absolutely no need to give up so much when this team is that good healthy. I can't disagree more with John here. Do you not see who the two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl are? Do you not see the four quarterbacks in the championship games were? Did you not see, even if teams squeaked into the playoffs, how quickly teams with bad quarterbacks got kicked out of those playoffs? Kyle Shanahan's great. The roster is very good. A healthy roster would be a very good roster for the 49ers, but you don't just roll into the playoffs with a number three quarterback. You just don't do it. And we saw the 49ers struggle this year. The 49ers have seen CJ Beathard for years, and they were rolling Nick Mullins out there game after game, knowing he's better than CJ Beathard. And we saw how Mullins performed. We saw how Beathard performed. They even won a game with Beathard. He didn't throw in any interceptions. He threw an interceptable pass that was not caught by the defense. He completed two passes to wide receivers in that game. Target wide receivers four times. They were doing their best to hide CJ Beathard. Jeff Wilson rushed for 180 yards in that game. The defense played phenomenal. That's why they won that football game, not because of CJ Beathard. Beathard is what he is. He's number three quarterback. They would not just roll into the playoffs with a substandard quarterback like CJ Beathard. And the 2021 roster is not going to be as good top to bottom as the 2019 roster was. Now, if you want to say they'll make the playoffs with a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo and cross your fingers there and say that they've already won a lot of games with Jimmy G and that trading three first-round picks is too much future draft capital to trade for a quarterback, I will accept that argument. I disagree when it comes to Deshaun Watson. I think he would be worth three first-rounders for the 49ers, two of those being very late first-rounders. That would be the idea, right? And one of them being the number 12 overall pick this year. But saying that they don't have to do anything at quarterback because Kyle Shanahan's a magic man and you're just going to roll through there with any old guy off the street and be a playoff team every year? No, that's not the case. Tony wants to know if Juice is a candidate for the franchise tag. Is there a fullback tender or is it a running back? That's a good question. I think it's a separate tender for fullbacks. And if it is, that would be a dirty, dirty thing for the 49ers to do to Kyle Juszczyk, but it is something they would have in their back pocket if he was to get the average of top five fullback money in the NFL versus average of top five running back money in the NFL, which would be very different, which would be too much to pay Kyle Juszczyk. That is a good question. I am going to look that up. They did it with Robbie Gould. If you have a top player at a position like that, like kicker or fullback, it would make a lot of sense. The more I think about it, the more I think that it's just fullbacks would be part of the running back group because I can't remember ever seeing a list of what the franchise tag dollar amounts would be and listing it fullback separately. So I think it actually would be running backs, which would mean that wouldn't be a solution for Kyle Juszczyk, which is good news for Kyle Juszczyk and bad news for the 49ers, I guess. Although I don't think they would do that to Kyle Juszczyk. He would take a huge pay cut on a franchise tag if it was just an average of the top fullbacks in the NFL. I think we can fit a couple more in here. Let's go to email from Kyle. He says, "Hi, Brian, Canadian listener. Thanks for the show. I listen every night while cooking dinner." I appreciate that, Kyle. Shout out to all my Canadian listeners. He says, "I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I'll aim to keep this short." And Kyle, you did not end up keeping this short, but let's go through this anyway. "I know the 49ers are very short on cap space, but if there is one big name free agent out there that Shanahan would move mountains to acquire, I think it's Packers center Corey Linsley. We know how Kyle values great centers, Alex Mack, of course, and then he offered a big contract to Weston Richburg, who was excellent with the Giants. I cannot imagine he's comfortable moving forward with Garland and Brunskill as his best center options. Linsley will be expensive, and Williams is the priority, of course, but I've got to think Shanahan is interested and is asking salary cap gurus if there's any way they can make it work. The scheme fit is perfect, especially if they want to move on from Jimmy and draft a quarterback. There's no better place to invest those extra dollars than an elite interior protector. Otherwise, and more realistically, maybe they can get a decent year out of Alex Mack and draft and develop someone behind him. Either way, I think center position will be a priority this offseason. What do you say?" I agree wholeheartedly with the second part. The first part, they're just not going to find money for someone like Corey Linsley, and they can't go pay another bunch of big money to a center. I think Alex Mack, who he's already paid big money to once when they were in Atlanta, is the perfect free agent stopgap center. He's 35 years old. He can still get it done, familiar with Kyle Shanahan's offense. He loves bringing in players he's coached before, and then exactly draft and develop a bunch of guys. They need to spend multiple picks of, you know, that from that Robert Saleh, and maybe from the second round pick. I don't think the first rounder necessarily needs to be an offensive lineman in this draft, but round two on, and they have about 10 draft picks this year. Now adding that late third from the Robert Saleh compensatory pick, draft multiple offensive linemen, draft and develop a bunch of smart, tough guys and guys that can get out on the move and block in that wide zone scheme and block in Shanahan's offense and see if you can maybe develop the next group of starting offensive linemen on this team, because you're going to need a lot of depth, and you're going to need future starters on the interior and at offensive tackle. But I think it's a perfect plan. Alex Mack, short-term stopgap. He's not going to get a massive contract, draft and develop his eventual replacement. Brunskill can plug in at right guard, maybe battle with Colton McKivitz, and then Brunskill could be utilized as a swing tackle, sixth man type, and then develop some more talent behind those guys. My plan, which I don't think they will utilize, they could use my plan at center that we just laid out there, which I like a lot with Alex Mack. If a team is willing to place a really big value on Mike McGlinchey, could they trade McGlinchey as part of a package, not give up as many draft picks when they procure their quarterback, and then bump Daniel Brunskill out to right tackle? Would obviously still need some more depth and some more pieces inside that would save enough money for an Alex Mack addition, and they wouldn't have to pay their offensive tackles after signing Trent Williams, you know, 30 plus, upwards of $40 million once McGlinchey gets a new deal. Last one here from Kevin. He says, as the Shanahan coaching tree spreads around the NFL, how does he stay ahead of the curve? Looking to the past, any insight on how Walsh stayed ahead of with his system spreading in the NFL? That's a great question, and Walsh's system did spread rapidly around the NFL, but when you're the best at doing it and you are the innovator, you can innovate on top of it, and you teach your assistant coaches everything they know, but you don't teach them everything you know. And I think the biggest thing about this is teams might get the Shanahan scheme when they hire one of those assistants, but they don't get Shanahan. You see it for, we saw it with Bill Walsh. We've seen it for years with Bill Belichick too. His coaching tree has not been good in the NFL. I think maybe we're starting to see a couple of hits now. We've seen multiple coaches get fired and not make it. Even executives coming out of there not doing amazing things. Maybe better, his executive tree might be even better than his coaching tree. Although we're starting to see a couple hits. We're seeing the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins playing pretty well right now and getting some things turned around with those franchises with some guys who are under Bill Belichick. But you don't get Belichick still, right? And you're not going to get Shanahan just because you hire one of his assistants. You can get the X's and O's. You can get part of it. You can get the scheme. But Kyle Shanahan's already innovated new stuff since the season ended for 2021 that his assistants don't even know about. And defenses will get better the more teams that see a scheme, and we saw it with the cover three defense, right? The more teams that tried to run it, and you don't have a superstar players at safety with Earl Thomas and cornerback and with Richard Sherman and linebacker with Bobby Wagner and a studly pass rush. When you don't have all those things, it's much more difficult to run any scheme. And when teams see one scheme a lot, they find out ways to beat it. And it's same with defenses adjusting to certain offenses and in certain schemes there. So they will get better the more they see it, but Shanahan will continue to adjust, and he'll adjust to the adjustments, and he will be just fine. Okay, thanks for all the questions, everybody. Good stuff. Thanks again to Eric Crocker. He will be back again with me later in the week on Thursday, breaking down 49ers defensive backs from 2020 and looking at some cornerback prospects, of which if the Niners don't go quarterback in round one, they might go to the defensive side of the ball with a cover guy, a drafted cover man higher than they have in a very, very long time. Who are those prospects? We'll talk about that Thursday and, of course, Winky Wednesday tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.